Hello and welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast. My name is Christopher Harris, aka The Gaffer. I am joined by my co-host Kartik Krishnayer. It has been a few months since we did the last podcast. We'll explain why in a few minutes and give you some big news that we want to pass along to you, the listeners. So this podcast started originally, so the website World Soccer Talk started in 2005 as EPL Talk. 2006 was the first episode of the podcast. And it was something that I didn't really, in the beginning, I wasn't like so gung-ho about doing podcasts. I wanted to focus more on the written word. But Kartik, like when we first started, I started doing interviews. We did an interview podcast. You helped us out a lot doing some really great interviews. Interviewing Paul Scholes, right? Who else? A whole bunch of interviews. Which was
Martin Peters. We did
Craig Bellamy.
Craig Bellamy, Toby Charles's cousin in Wales. Oh gosh, what was his name?
Mel Charles.
Yeah. Craig Bellamy, right? I did that one. Yeah. Martin Shivers, among others, right?
Yeah, you can go down the list. I mean, we've done over the years. I mean, like, so whether it's us or other World Soccer Talk members, or staff members, we did John Terry, Gerard Houllier, Alan Shearer. I mean, you name it. Even the Paul Scholes interview you did, you broke some news on that one, which is, do you remember what that was, Kartik?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the tabloids picked up on it, which was not something we were expecting because, in fact, the people who facilitated the interview for us, Chris, if you remember, had to whisk me in to meet with Paul Scholes because the tabloid journalists were sitting right outside trying to catch a glimpse of him. The story was that he was only going to play one more season for Manchester United, which he did, and he retired, and then he unretired, remember, and played a portion of another season. But yes, we broke that story.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. And so let's jump right into the news. The big news is basically the summer of 2022, I sold World Soccer Talk. So I sold it to one of the biggest sports media publishers in the Americas, like a giant publishing company. They're really, really big in South America, especially in Brazil, Argentina, Chile, also big in Mexico. So that was always my goal with World Soccer Talk. It was that I wanted to kind of create something, which I did when we launched it in 2005. Kartik along the way has been a huge help in terms of podcasts, writing content, editing, etc. And so 2022 sold the site and then had an agreement with the new owners to continue running World Soccer Talk for two more years. And that brought me up to about, I think, September of 2024, October. And at that point, I agreed to continue moving forward with them. So kind of continuing what I was doing. I mean, the transition period was over in terms of kind of transitioning the site over to the new publishers. And up until recently, up until now, I've decided to go ahead and seek a new opportunity outside of soccer. So it means the end for me as running World Soccer Talk. So I mean, the podcast, the website will continue. This podcast episode is probably the last episode that will ever happen with World Soccer Talk unless the new owners decide to move forward. So I'm going to be hanging up my soccer boots, so to speak, and moving on to a different career and exiting World Soccer Talk, which will continue as a company and as a website. And then Kartik, you will be continuing with Beyond the 90, right? I mean, it's done so well. And up until recently, too, you've had some really, really thought-provoking pieces, some of the video pieces you've done, some of the podcasts you've done, some of the articles that you've been breaking. So you've been kind of covering that lower division, lower league football, soccer beat so well. But what about you, Kartik? So I'm going to be moving on. And then you're going to be moving on, right?
Yeah, so I'm leaving World Soccer Talk as well, as of the conclusion of this podcast, focusing all my efforts on Beyond the 90, which you can find at beyondthe90.net. It's on the Substack platform. So we have a paid tier and we have a free tier. If you want to be a member, you can do either. You get more benefits with the paid tier, obviously, but real focus on lower division soccer in the United States, some focus on the EFL in England, and we're expanding our offerings to podcasts. We're actually going to announce a couple new podcast offerings next week, as well as more video, as you mentioned, more live video. We're opening up a chat for our paid members on the Substack platform, a 24/7 chat. So doing all sorts of things. And Chris, this goes back to the point you made about World Soccer Talk initially, 2005. You thought it would be more a written offering, which it was in many ways, than a podcast offering. Same thing. I launched Beyond the 90 two and a half years ago, or almost 3 years ago now, or actually it was 2021, so 3.5 years ago now. And I said no podcasts, right? My podcast focus was here at World Soccer Talk, no podcasts at Beyond the 90. As time goes on, you realize the market has changed, the space has changed. And if you don't do podcasts and videos, and that's not your one of your primary focuses, you give it at least as much love as written content, if not more, then you're falling behind in the marketplace. And I just think that that's, for better or worse, that's the reality of the space we're in right now, in terms of soccer journalism.
Yeah, and it's been a good run, right? It's been 19 years for the podcast, and then 20 years for the website. And there's, of course, the newsletter and social media and everything that we've done, all the TV schedules. So everything will continue running as before. The podcast is probably the only one that won't continue unless they decide to move forward. But I mean, I'm proud of what we achieved. Thanks to the listeners and to the readers of World Soccer Talk. It's been a fantastic experience. I've got to travel the world and interview people, some of my heroes that I would have never expected. It was really a homegrown independent publishing company that we created and grew to, actually in 2022, right before the World Cup, it was in the top five most ranked soccer websites based on traffic in the United States for English language websites. And we were generating more traffic than MLSsoccer.com, than FIFA.com, than RealMadrid.com and some major websites. So to take it from what it started off as, which is a blog that was written nights and weekends out of my bedroom and doing podcasts out of my bedroom and interviewing, I mean, like we mentioned, all sorts of folks from World Soccer, and sometimes oftentimes getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning to do an interview with somebody that was based in Germany or the UK. That would have been like, say, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning their time, just to get that interview. With this podcast, we did over 1,500 episodes. When I look back at World Soccer Talk, I think one of the things that I'm most proud of, Kartik, is what I consider reality. And what I mean by that is, whether it's on this podcast or in the written word or social media, is there's so much marketing and hype and, to be frank, BS out there about the game of soccer in the world, that we kind of cut through that. A lot of it was through our analysis, kind of explaining what was actually happening, but giving transparency and reality to a lot of different things. So just a couple of examples of that was that I think TV ratings was something that we kind of focused on a lot on in terms of how many people were actually watching games. And if you didn't know, you mean, at the time, you'd kind of think like, oh, like when you hear some leagues talking about how many how popular the league is. But once you actually looked at the numbers and then shared those numbers, and we had tons of articles, we had weekly wrap-ups of kind of the most watched leagues or most watched games, it gave more transparency to actually what people were watching, which showed over time, right, Liga MX being the most popular league in the United States. So that was something I was really proud of. Also promotion relegation, and I know it's a topic, I'm not taking ownership of this by any means, but I think out of any website in the United States, we probably published more stories and talked more about promotion and relegation than any other website. You mean both the highs and the lows, both the pros and the cons, but at least having the conversation about it and just kind of, I mean, my personal belief, obviously, that, you know, I think it should be something that should be brought into the game in the United States. And Kartik, I know you have some reservations about it in terms of just trying to get it to work within the American system, but that was something else I'm proud of in terms of that. One more thing I would say too, we had some really, really remarkable pieces that we did that really changed broadcasting in the United States. And one example is Gus Johnson, who is, college basketball announcer, commentator that Fox brought in to do Premier League games, Champions League games. And this was somebody that well-intended, wanted to do well, had a lot of aspirations to kind of work with Fox and basically commentate the World Cup for them. But the reality from my point of view as an analyst and as a fan of the game is that he was well short of average commentator. I mean, it was really, really poor. So we kind of analyzed that. And that was a media fight. So Fox did a lot of media press interviews, trying to build up Gus Johnson to be the next great American soccer announcer. We pushed back a lot on that. Basically, as soccer fans, saying like, hey, this is ridiculous. We're getting somebody who doesn't really know the game learning on basically in front of our own eyes and not at the level that we expect for soccer fans in the United States. Ultimately, Fox backed down on that one and Gus Johnson left. What about you, Kartik? Anything that stood out for you from the last 20 years that that you think is worth mentioning?
Yeah, everything you mentioned, I agree with. And I think we were more aggressive in not only talking about promotion and relegation, but other concepts like solidarity payments, which are universal in the rest of the world, including Canada. MLS pays solidarity payments to youth clubs in Canada, like in the example of Alphonso Davies, but they don't in the United States. And a calendar change, which is something that I think is almost a prerequisite for ProRel, is shifting the calendar to where you can align your transfer windows. We've talked about that. MLS now might do that. USL, a little further behind on that. But that's something I think we very much carried the baton with, in addition to ProRel and general reform within U.S. soccer. I think we gave more coverage of the lower divisions in England and sort of the culture of football, the supporters' culture, which is why, look, I'm a football fan. I'm a passionate football fan largely because of the supporters' culture and the community impact of these clubs. I'm less about seeing, and I know this is different than a lot of people, the artistry of individual players. I love that. Don't get me wrong, but that's not my primary focus as a football fan or a football journalist. And I think in terms of a site in English, in the English language, that was read not just here in the States, but in the UK, in Australia, in India, in Canada, in Nigeria, and places where English is widely spoken, we did more to promote supporters' culture and the supporters' feel. The supporters' maybe resentment of billionaire owners, the supporters' resentment of the Super League, the supporters' resentment about high ticket prices, and things like that. And that obviously also informed our coverage of Major League Soccer, where we came at it from kind of a broader macro perspective. Other things I'm proud of is that I feel like we pioneered a lot in other spaces. Chris, you were really kind of the first person to launch a comprehensive chat, which I'm now trying to recreate at Beyond the 90, 20, well, not quite 20 years later, but like 18, 19 years after you did that. We used to do a chat during every Premier League match day, if you remember, in 2006 yeah. and 2007, which was a lot of fun. And then we kind of transitioned those people into reading the written content at the site and listening to the podcast. We tried to have individual podcasts about, and we did for several years, about the Premier League, Serie A, Major League Soccer, the Major League Soccer one I hosted, La Liga, and the Bundesliga, right? We did that for several years and then kind of merged everything back into the greater World Soccer Talk brand. So we did a lot more than other independent sites. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about, the only people who actually competed with us were sites owned by large media conglomerates or large corporations. So what we did was unique in the independent space. And as you said earlier, we held out and we continued our run. But then in the summer of 2022, you sold the site and thus we're moving on. But I think we accomplished so much. We did. Maybe I'm beating our chests a little too much right now, Chris, but I think we did more than any other independent media space covering this sport in the English language over the course of the last 20 years. I have no hesitation in saying that.
Yeah, and I think beating our chest, I think we hardly ever did that at all in the 20 years. So I think at this point, probably the final podcast. Absolutely. We should kind of mention some of those things, because I think if we don't do it, nobody else will do it. Partly because we kind of rocked the system too. We kind of, a lot of the stories we ran were controversial. We had a ton of exclusive stories, controversial as in that sometimes it painted a different picture of actually what was going on. We kind of painted the reality of what was going on. One example is a podcast early soccer years in the United States that both you and I loved or appreciated was World Soccer Daily. And that was something that I ran a series of stories at World Soccer Talk. Well, it would have been EPL Talk at the time, that exposed the actual head of World Soccer Daily and where he was blaming the Liverpool fans for the Hillsborough disaster, which was completely incorrect. And because so many people listen to World Soccer Daily on a daily basis and watch them on television, on Fox, etc., that may not have known the history of actually what happened, we exposed that. We ran stories about that. We were threatened with a lawsuit, told to take down that information. But we stood our ground and stood by our reporting. And eventually Fox fired that person and World Soccer Daily went out of business, largely because of what we started, which was an article series kind of just talking about exactly what happened and why it was wrong and why it was incorrect and what the truth was. So there's been a lot of things that like that example, we've broken so many stories and sometimes it's like, especially in the world of media, like CBS Sports, for example, they want to make sure that they have the exclusive about the Champions League. So whether it's giving it to The Athletic and then letting them have the exclusive that CBS has given to them, or CBS Sports themselves announcing, the news themselves so that they can be the first one to announce it. We've broken so many stories like that, including CBS Sports getting the Champions League rights. We were the first to report about that, broke that story before any other publication, before any Wall Street Journal, New York Times, you name it. And there's a long list of those that we've done in the past before too, which leads me into kind of our years focusing more so on TV and streaming and kind of media coverage. I think as we grew older or matured, both you and I, Kartik, we kind of, yes, like you said, like a few minutes ago, we could talk about the game. We love the game. We could analyze the game. But our coverage also changed over time, where we were writing about and talking about things that we were interested in. A lot of it was the streaming revolution, the streaming wars, and how revolutionary that has been in terms of the way that we watch games. I can now watch all of my Swansea City home and away games. I can watch practically any live game from around the world, any major league. And that was something that wasn't possible, 10, 15 years ago, but it is now. So that's something I'm also proud of. Kartik, anything else you can want to add before we wrap up?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I think in terms of the TV space, we were, and we got a lot of pushback on this because we were looking at the numbers. This is when it really occurred to us, in spite of everything else. I mean, the indicators were there. If you just looked at kind of the depth of support, and even talking to casual sports fans about who weren't soccer fans, right, per se, but they, if you asked them anything about soccer, they tended to give you an answer related to the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
About club football. So, doing the TV thing really kind of confirmed for us that the Premier League was racing away from the other leagues in the United States in terms of popularity. And as much as we love Serie A and Bundesliga and La Liga, and I had previously, and you know this, Chris, and I had argued this on the podcast. Oh, I don't know why Americans don't cover Serie A and La Liga at the same level as they cover the Premier League. I used to complain about it. Once you see the numbers, once you study the numbers and you analyze the numbers and you then take it from a market perspective, right? This is an open free market. You realize there's a reason why the Premier League is so much more popular and there's so much more intensity and the support in this country and so many more people following it. And that also gave me an insight into some of the problems that MLS and some of the other soccer competitions in the United States, USL, et cetera, NASL, have, and some of the obstacles they face. So shifting to the media focus was really valuable, even for my own understanding of people's personal preferences and why the market has gone in the direction it's gone in this country in the last 10 or 15 years. I hope we gave our listeners and our readers some more information and some more insight as to why some of the things that have happened in the United States have happened in terms of this sport.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it was eye-opening to me too, in terms of like kind of learning more about that industry and doing a lot of those interviews that we did with a lot of the executives, and then also with, executives from Ligue 1 or the Premier League, et cetera, kind of getting more into the business side of football, which has been really interesting for me. I've really been fascinated by that. And that was kind of a way that World Soccer Talk matured and grew also. And that's the thing too. I think at the end of the day, World Soccer Talk means different things for different people. You mean whether it's the podcast or whether it's the website or whether it's some of the articles. As time went on, we kind of had a little bit of everything there. But it all ends on a good note. I mean, it's something that I'm happy about in terms of selling World Soccer Talk. I wanted to do it eventually. I didn't want to be doing it until I was like 88. I wanted to kind of let it go. Have somebody else take it over. And really kind of more so enjoy soccer, going back to kind of being a fan of the game and watching matches, supporting my Swansea City, and then reading some great content out there as a fan, like whether it's beyondthe90.net or other places. There's some really good content out there still. But I think it's really, at the end of the day, it's kind of the evolution of soccer media publishing, where we went the whole way from the very beginning. When we started in 2006 with a podcast, that was one of the few podcasts out there. We still are until this last podcast, the longest running soccer podcast in the world. In the early days, we did, I think, one of the very first soccer vodcasts or soccer vlogs, where we did some interviews, and then we went down to Gold TV studio, did a behind the scenes tour, which is still on YouTube, where we show Ray Hudson and Phil Shane and others commentating La Liga games. We went to Miami to do some coverage about FC Barcelona. It was close to doing a deal with Major League Soccer to launch a team there in Miami. That fell through after I think 9/11, I think it was. So there's been so much. I mean, we could go on for hours about all the different things we achieved and some of our memorable moments. But Kartik, I want to thank you for everything that you've done with the site and all of your contributions over the years. And a passionate, honest. I mean, and that's the thing too. At the end of the day, I talked before about reality is, from podcast one until whatever this one is, 1,500 and something, we've always been honest, we've always been transparent, and we've always kind of focused on the reality. So thank you, Kartik, for helping me with that journey also.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris, and thank you for everything you've done through the years, really been a pioneer in this space. And it's unfortunate in a way that we have to move on, but we have to move on. One of the things that struck me in conversation I have, I don't want to divulge too much, but caught up with one of our former colleagues and former podcast host, Richard Farley, this past weekend, and spent several hours on the phone with him reminiscing about some of this stuff. When I gave him the news, I was giving him the news, a heads up on what we were going to do today. And Richard was talking about, and Richard has moved on, right? He's out of the soccer space now, that we're two of the only people that were doing, you and I, Chris, doing independent soccer stuff back in 2010, at kind of the heyday of when Richard was working with us at World Soccer Talk, that are still in the soccer space at all. Which, when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I mean, there's been this evolution. People have moved on. So it's time. And that's just another indication that it's time.
Yeah, one more thing on that, too. Just, I mean, I have to mention Lawrence McKenna, who you found, and it was through your contacts, one of your friends, who became the host of the World Soccer Talk or EPL Talk podcast, World Soccer Talk podcast. And really, I think to me at least, that was kind of the height of the podcast in terms of the number of listeners and downloads and how well it was doing. And now Lawrence works for Sky Sports. If you watch UK television, you'll often see Lawrence McKenna on Sky Sports. Just as an example, there's been so many people who have come through the doors who have gone on to work for the New York Times, Sky Sports, ESPN, Fox, NBC, etc. So Kartik, I'll let you wrap it up with the final.
And one last point on Lawrence. I should mention Lawrence. This shows you what you can do in the independent soccer space. I found him when he was vlogging. He had come over from the UK to vlog for the Canadian Soccer Federation for Canada Soccer back in 2008 or 2009. And now he's on Sky Sports, as you said, and we've placed people on NBC, we've placed people on Fox, we've placed people on CBS, the Big Lead, all everywhere, right, in the soccer and general sports journalism space.
All right, Kartik, I'll let you end the podcast with the famous final three words.
Enjoy your football.